When Leonardo da Vinci studied the spiral pattern of water flowing down a drain, he wasn't just observing fluid dynamics, he was seeing the same mathematical principles that governed the curl of human hair and the formation of galaxies. This extraordinary perception of unity across seemingly disparate phenomena defines true polymath. Da Vinci, whose 500th death anniversary recently sparked renewed interest in his legacy, wasn't exceptional because he dabbled in many fields. He was exceptional because he saw no fields at all, only a seamless tapestry of knowledge. The concept of the polymath has experienced a cultural resurgence in recent years. Bill Gates lists Leonardo da Vinci by Walter Isaacson among his favorite books, while figures like Elon Musk are often described as modern polymaths. Yet in our age of hyper-specialization, we've largely forgotten what true polymath entails and why it matters more now than perhaps at any point in human history. As artificial intelligence increasingly masters specialized tasks, our uniquely human capacity for versatile, creative thinking across domains may be our most valuable asset and our salvation. The polymath is not a historical anomaly, but humanity's natural state. Early human survival depended on exceptional versatility, the ability to track animals, identify edible plants, construct shelters, create tools, and navigate by stars. As historian Felipe Fernandez Armesto observes, the further back you go, the more polymathy there was, because knowledge domains were undefined, and expertise in one area didn't inhibit interest in another. Archaeological evidence from ancient civilizations reveals that their most impressive achievements, from the Egyptian pyramids to the planned cities of Harappa, weren't created by teams of narrow specialists, but by individuals with multidimensional skills. These early societies required practical generalists who possessed botanical knowledge, hunting prowess, architectural vision, and artistic sensibility all within one mind. This natural human versatility persisted throughout history. Renaissance Italy epitomizes this, with its culture of patronage that valued overall ability over narrow specialization. Leonardo da Vinci thrived in this environment, serving various patrons who encouraged his wide-ranging talents. Martin Kemp estimates it would take 13 different modern professionals to replicate Leonardo's combined skill set as painter, sculptor, engineer, anatomist, and inventor. This tradition of multifaceted intellectual development existed across cultures, from Persian hakims to West African griots, Chinese junzi to Mayan itzat. Even working-class people throughout history demonstrated remarkable intellectual range, with American farmers reading Greek classics while plowing fields and Scottish weavers participating in autodidactic culture after their factory shifts. The scarcity of recorded female polymaths reflects not a lack of ability, but historical barriers to women's intellectual development. Despite these obstacles, figures like Hedy Lamarr, Hollywood actress and inventor of frequency-hopping technology used in Bluetooth, and Émilie du Châtelet, mathematician, physicist, and philosopher, demonstrated extraordinary versatility, though their achievements were often overshadowed by their male counterparts or reduced to footnotes in history. What we now celebrate as exceptional Renaissance men were actually the norm throughout most of human history. Our modern tendency to typecast historical figures with singular identities, knowing Copernicus only for astronomy or Lewis Carroll only for fiction, reflects our specialized mindset rather than their actual lives. Dig deeper into almost any great historical figure, and you'll discover varied backgrounds, interests, and accomplishments beyond their primary recognition. History's most influential figures have overwhelmingly been polymaths whose multidimensional understanding allowed them to make transformative contributions across various domains. This pattern appears consistently across leadership, intellectual pursuits, and creative endeavors. Great leaders are inherently polymathic because effective leadership requires synthesizing diverse information, understanding multiple perspectives, and connecting seemingly unrelated factors. Muhammad ibn Abdullah rose from orphan shepherd to become not just a spiritual guide, but also a military commander, statesman, lawmaker, and encyclopedic thinker, whose movement inspired great civilizations and scientific breakthroughs. Frederick II, Holy Roman Emperor, earned the title Wonder of the World not just for military conquest, but as a polyglot, poet, linguist, falconry expert, and patron of arts. Akbar the Great established innovative governance systems, pursued diplomacy, fostered arts, created a syncretic religion, and mastered various crafts despite being illiterate. This pattern extends to intellectual polymaths who have shaped our understanding of the world. Ibn Sina, Avicenna, produced the Kitab al-Shifa, an unparalleled compendium spanning logic, geometry, astronomy, music, and metaphysics. Ibn Rushd, Averroes, simultaneously studied theology, law, and medicine while serving as both chief judge and court physician. Cultural critics like John Ruskin wrote authoritatively on architecture, poetry, geology, economics, and became the leading art historian of his generation. Polymathic educators have transmitted knowledge across generations, from Marcus Terentius Varro, whose 9 books of disciplines established the framework for the 7 classical liberal arts, to Maria Gaetana Agnesi, the first woman university professor appointed to the chair of mathematics, natural philosophy, and physics at Bologna. Herbert Simon exemplifies the modern academic polymath, holding professorships in political science, economics, sociology, cognitive psychology, and computer science, while winning the Nobel Prize in economics. Scientific polymaths have driven our greatest breakthroughs. Charles Murray's extensive study found that 15 of the 20 most influential scientists in history were polymaths, a finding reinforced by Robert Root Bernstein's research on Nobel Prize winners. Chinese polymath Shen Kuo made contributions across mathematics, astronomy, anatomy, geology, economics, optics, and engineering, developing the armillary sphere, water clock, and bronze gnomon, discovering magnetic north, and synthesizing his knowledge in the encyclopedic Dream Pool essays. Even in fields we associate with specialization, polymathy has been the rule rather than the exception. Thomas Edison held 1,093 U.S. patents across diverse technologies, including the phonograph, light bulb, fluoroscope, stock ticker, and motion picture camera. Steve Jobs transformed multiple industries by connecting engineering, design, marketing, and finance. Humanitarian polymaths like Albert Schweitzer combined philosophy, medicine, theology, and music to address complex social challenges, while Florence Nightingale revolutionized nursing, pioneered statistical visualization, and wrote extensively on medicine, feminism, theology, and mathematics. How did we transition from a world where polymathy was natural to one where specialization is the expected norm? This shift represents one of the most profound transformations in human cognitive history and perhaps one of its greatest mistakes. The specialization paradigm emerged gradually through complex social, educational, and ideological factors. While division of labor serves necessary social functions, as Ibn Khaldun noted in his observations about specialization creating social cohesion, it has been progressively amplified by various systems, from European feudalism to the Indian caste system to Western industrialization. The philosophical roots of modern specialization emerged during the post-Enlightenment period when knowledge began to be perceived as unmanageable as a whole, leading to Cartesian reductionism and the retreat from universal knowledge. By the 1800s, academic disciplines became institutionalized, knowledge compartmentalized, and professional specialization spread globally through bureaucracies and corporations. Karl Marx criticized this system for converting professionals into paid wage laborers and causing spiritual depression through repetitive work. Today, this culture of hyper-specialization permeates society, with people defined almost exclusively by their occupation, and technology further reinforcing our tendency to remain in specialized bubbles through algorithmic recommendations and targeted marketing. Our education system perpetuates this problem by operating on an outdated Victorian model built around linearity, conformity, and standardization, while today's world demands organic, adaptable, and diverse thinking. Knowledge is presented as inert ideas, fragmented information without any unifying framework or personal relevance. Children wonder why they're learning geometry or history without understanding how these subjects connect to their lives or to each other. The system forces talented children into premature specialization, causing what psychologists call multipotentiality anxiety, anxiety when multi-talented pupils must choose between passions. This specialization paradigm creates profound disillusionment in adult life. Most people find themselves trapped in occupations that fulfill them neither personally nor financially. Once typecast by early career choices, individuals find themselves pulled deeper into narrowing professional paths impossible to escape. Employee engagement surveys reveal alarming statistics. Only 20% of UK workers report being happy, down from 60% in 1987, and nearly half of professionals worldwide feel unchallenged despite confidence in their capabilities. Some 60% would choose different careers if possible, revealing the vast gulf between actual and desired work lives. Our desperate search for fulfillment outside work reveals itself in the explosion of work-life balance articles and the popularity of activities like white-collar boxing or marathon running. Despite technology's promise to reduce labor and free up time for broader pursuits, we're working more than ever. The work-from-anywhere lifestyle, rather than enhancing balance, has merely extended work's reach into personal time. Perhaps the most persistent justification for specialization is the belief that it provides security and stability. Jack of all trades, master of none, warns against the supposed dangers of versatility. Yet this conventional wisdom contradicts both our evolutionary heritage and contemporary economic reality. As zoologist Desmond Morris observed, humans are naturally the most non-specialized adaptive creatures of all. Our evolutionary advantage lies precisely in our versatility and adaptability. The modern narrative that specialization ensures survival stems from Western competitive paradigms that ignore our equally deep-rooted capacity for cooperation. Across cultures, from Eastern Europe to East Asia, folk wisdom denigrates polymaths as financially doomed, yet occupational diversification actually provides greater economic security. Princeton economist Ed Glaser found that labor market diversity, not specialization, drives economic growth through cross-industry knowledge spillover. With job security vanishing in the modern economy, career advisors now recommend multiple simultaneous career paths as an essential survival strategy rather than a luxury. The rise of automation makes this even more critical. Oxford research suggests 47% of American jobs risk computerization, potentially creating what Yuval Noah Harari calls a useless class with no economic function. Rather than competing as inferior machines, humans must establish their irreplaceable uniqueness, the hallmark of polymathy. AI will eventually handle information processing and technical specialization, leaving biological minds to combine, curate, and connect knowledge into uniquely human wisdom. Specialization is becoming redundant for both understanding truth and ensuring survival. The journey toward polymathy begins with reconditioning our minds, detoxifying them from the specialization paradigm that has been ingrained through education and culture. This process involves six interconnected components: understanding oneself, individuality, continuous boundless inquiry, curiosity, nurturing various abilities, intelligence, moving seamlessly between knowledge spheres, versatility, connecting disparate fields, creativity, and unifying knowledge strands for greater clarity, unity. Individuality begins with introspective self-discovery and the willingness to reject conventional paths when necessary. Like Arthur Alfred Lynch, the engineer, journalist, soldier, physician, politician, linguist, author, polymaths, demonstrate relentless pursuit of their uniqueness and true potential. This involves distinguishing the authentic self from the ego, recognizing one's genetic and neural uniqueness, and striking the right balance between ambitious self-belief and realism. Success comes at the intersection of talent and passion across multiple fields, as exemplified by Nathan Meyervold, who embraced his multifaceted nature rather than forcing himself to focus on a single path. Curiosity drives the polymathic journey. Al-Biruni exemplified boundless curiosity, producing 140 treatises across astronomy, mathematics, anthropology, and medicine in the 11th century. This trait is embedded in human biology, a fundamental characteristic that exists regardless of class, race, or gender. Zoologist Desmond Morris noted that while all mammals have exploratory urges, humans maintain this inquisitiveness into adulthood, making it the greatest survival trick of our species. True curiosity requires open-mindedness, a willingness to consider new ideas despite established convictions. Many resist changing opinions due to professional reputation concerns or ego protection. This closed-mindedness stems from the brain's discomfort with ambiguity, manifesting as what psychologists call the need for cognitive closure. Polymaths are the most open-minded, neophilic thinkers who fully explore questions before judgment, recognizing that certainty itself can be dangerous in a complex world. Intelligence correlates strongly with polymathy, but it's not just about raw cognitive power, it's about how that intelligence is directed. While some use their intelligence for deep specialization, polymaths apply it horizontally across diverse domains. Critical thinking serves as a universally applicable trait that enables fair judgment across fields. As Aristotle advocated, a man of universal education applies critical thinking across knowledge branches rather than accumulating exhaustive information in every field. Versatility, the ability to move seamlessly between seemingly unrelated domains, stands as the fundamental feature of the polymathic mind. Cheng Man Ching, known as Master of the Five Arts, exemplified this through his mastery of martial arts, medicine, painting, poetry, and calligraphy. This versatility requires openness to, even craving for, continuous change and acceptance of impermanence. Many polymaths compartmentalize their projects, switching lives hourly or daily. This switching provides psychological rejuvenation, a change is as good as a rest, and helps overcome diminishing returns that plague specialists. As economist David Eastburn explained, as you pursue a certain activity, the added satisfaction eventually diminishes, suggesting the optimal approach is to maximize total satisfaction through a mix of activities. This cognitive shifting activates specific brain regions, including the prefrontal cortex and basal ganglia, when switching between unrelated tasks. Our brains are biologically designed for constant change through neuroplasticity. Neurons and synapses continuously reorganize in response to new information and experiences. As neuroscientist David Eagleman notes, your brain is a relentless shapeshifter. Your identity is a moving target. True polymaths integrate both thought and action, refusing the artificial separation between thinkers and doers that characterizes modern society. John Ruskin lamented this separation. We want one man to be always thinking and another to be always working, whereas the workman ought often to be thinking and the thinker often to be working. Both thought and action require each other. As Chinese polymath Xu Si said, they're like a person who cannot walk without legs, although he has eyes, and who cannot see without eyes, although he has legs. Creativity forms the backbone of human progress and represents both the cause and product of polymathy. Hiraka Ginai, a 19th-century Japanese polymath, exemplified boundless creative drive across multiple domains, from pharmacology to economics, entrepreneurship to art, technology to literature. His life demonstrates how creative energy can flow across seemingly unrelated fields when not artificially constrained. Breakthrough innovations frequently emerge when ideas migrate between fields. Einstein and Darwin weren't tunnel vision specialists. Their diverse interests enabled their revolutionary insights. Louis Pasteur's microbe discovery depended on his crystallography background. As Robert Root Bernstein observes, polymaths made contributions to particular disciplines because of, not in spite of, their broad interests. Steve Jobs articulated this perfectly. Creativity is just connecting things. The broader one's understanding of the human experience, the better design we will have. The ultimate polymathic insight is that all fields of knowledge are fundamentally connected, not just in select areas, but as part of one unified whole. This holistic perspective was the norm before the European Enlightenment, when disciplinary boundaries weren't rigidly fixed. Across diverse philosophical traditions, from ancient Egyptian to Greek, Roman, Christian, Islamic, Hindu, and Mayan, this unifying worldview encouraged polymathy. The Islamic concept of tawhid, oneness, motivated an entire era of Muslim polymathy. As Sayyid Hossein Nasser explains, integration was one of the most important consequences of Islamic revelation. Similarly, Christian polymaths like Thomas Aquinas saw theology as unifying all knowledge into God's own knowledge, which is the single and simple vision of everything. Leonardo da Vinci embodied this perspective, seeing disciplines as an interconnected family. Music may be called the sister of painting, and moving fluidly between subjects because he recognized their natural connections. Modern scientists like E.O. Wilson continue advocating for this consilience or unity of knowledge, which he argues gives ultimate purpose to intellect and represents the natural state of the human conscience. Context, understanding phenomena in relation to their surroundings, is essential to polymathic thinking. As Buddhist philosopher Nagarjuna observed, things derive their being and nature by mutual dependence and are nothing in themselves. Without context, we risk what philosopher Edgar Morin called blind intelligence, misunderstanding that can lead to disastrous consequences, like misinterpreting religious texts or literature by extracting fragments from their whole. Modern neuroscience validates holistic thinking through understanding the complementary roles of the brain's hemispheres. The right hemisphere sees things as a whole and in their complex interdependence, while the left looks narrowly and in isolation. As I.N. McGilchrist explains, the left provides knowledge about the parts, while the right provides the wisdom of the whole. When both hemispheres work together, what Roger Sperry called unified consciousness, creative breakthroughs emerge. Our current educational system remains fundamentally broken because it still operates on an outdated Victorian model built around linearity, conformity, and standardization. A polymathic curriculum would organize knowledge into interconnected facets of human existence: nature, society, mind, body, survival, work, expression, and transcendence. This framework presents knowledge as an interconnected constellation rather than separate subjects. Traditional societies offer valuable lessons for modern education. Jared Diamond's anthropological studies reveal tribal education systems with no formal instruction, no classes, no exams, where knowledge is inseparable from social life. Children in these societies understand the practical value of what they're learning through multi-age playgroups, creative toy making, and apprenticeships where there is no separation between education and play. The modern separation between work and leisure isn't natural to human existence. Traditional societies like the Yir-Yoren tribe have a single word, walk, encompassing all necessary activities from hunting to ceremonies to recreation. Historian Felipe Fernandez Armesto notes that prehistoric societies never separated leisure from work or privileged any class with special access to it. Portfolio careers, pursuing multiple occupations simultaneously rather than sequentially, represent a path to polymathy increasingly adopted in the modern economy. While this approach has long been a necessity for survival in developing countries, it's now gaining popularity among Western middle classes. Management thinker Charles Handy argues that being a portfolio worker provides a safety net during economic hardship, while Barry Hobson found that most portfolio careerists earned more within 2 years than in their previous single careers and reported greater happiness through a better work-life blend. Despite Peter Burke's warning that the polymath is endangered, though not extinct, a vanguard of polymathic thinkers continues to thrive across disciplines. Modern polymaths defy the paradigm of specialization across diverse fields. Sadhguru Jaggi Vasudev, a renowned yogi and mystic, also excels as a social entrepreneur, golfer, author on gastronomy, and adventurer. Public intellectuals like Slavoj Žižek and Roger Scruton write authoritatively across disciplines, from psychoanalysis to animal rights. Scientific polymaths thrive especially in AI and technology, with figures like Ray Kurzweil and Elon Musk applying cross-disciplinary knowledge to revolutionize multiple sectors. The arts remain fertile ground for polymathy, with Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, and Viggo Mortensen excelling across multiple creative domains. Despite historical gender bias, female polymaths like Antonia Darter, Vandana Shiva, and Mae Jemison have emerged as scholar activists and innovators across science, business, and the arts. Noam Chomsky, when asked about history's greatest polymath, surprisingly named his minimally educated uncle, who operated a newsstand but was one of the most widely educated people I've ever seen. Chomsky recalls growing up in a 1930s Jewish working-class community where even unemployed workers discussed Budapest string quartet concerts, Shakespeare, and Freudian theory. He laments that what was once normal educated concerns of an educated person must now be broken up into professions. F. Story Musgrave embodies polymathy through his extraordinary career trajectory. U.S. Special Forces soldier, mechanical engineer, aviator with 17,700 flight hours across 160 aircraft types, parachutist with over 800 free falls, clinical surgeon, and physiologist. As a NASA astronaut for 30 years, he completed 6 space flights, conducted the first shuttle spacewalk, led the Hubble telescope repair mission, and piloted astronomy probes. For Musgrave, curiosity drives everything. Curiosity is a pure emotion, a pure energy. It is done for the sake of itself, without an agenda, without anticipated rewards, just to be alive and to be engaged with the cosmos. As we face unprecedented challenges, from climate change to artificial intelligence, the polymathic mindset becomes not just personally fulfilling, but essential for human survival. In our information-flooded world, where we consume some 100,000 words daily, the challenge isn't access, but navigation. As E.O. Wilson notes, we are drowning in information while starving for wisdom. The polymath's ability to synthesize becomes essential, seeing the whole as greater than its parts. Ray Kurzweil, a technological polymath and transhumanist, predicts the singularity when humans will transcend biology by fusing with superintelligent machines through nanotechnology. With our neocortex expanded in the cloud, we could potentially master multiple fields simultaneously, dramatically enhancing our capacity for polymathy. While this technological future holds promise, we must prioritize optimizing human minds alongside developing superintelligent machines, as humans will ultimately program these machines. The polymathic revolution offers both personal fulfillment and intellectual emancipation through the cultivation of versatility, unity, and creativity. It represents a form of resistance against systems that benefit from human specialization and ignorance. By embracing our natural cognitive versatility, we reclaim our full humanity and prepare ourselves for a future where adaptability, creativity, and holistic thinking will be our greatest assets. The path to polymathy isn't about becoming another Leonardo da Vinci. It's about reconnecting with our innate human capacity for multidimensional understanding. In doing so, we don't just enrich our individual lives, we contribute to solving the complex, interconnected challenges that no specialist alone can address. The polymath isn't a relic of the past, but the prototype for humanity's future.